It's just awesome what God's doing because he uses people. Yes. This crazy idea in God's head is that he was going to use people to do what he wanted done on the planet. Amen. And I don't know where we get confused sometimes. I don't know where I get confused because I'd like some organization or some thing, some entity to take care of me and put my trust in it because it seems a little bit bigger and a little more foolproof and a little more solid, but they're all made up of people. And at the end of the day, you have to learn how to trust people. It's not easy. People let you down. People are human. We all make mistakes. If you don't think you do, then the people around you, talk to have a chat with them because they can be sure to help point out wherever you're missing your own mistakes. But I think if we're honest, we all realize we make mistakes. We're human, and yet God's called us to walk a life where people are supposed to look at our life and they're supposed to see something in our hearts and in the way that we live that causes them to ask us about the joy, about the life, about the blessing that we're living in. And that's a privilege that we get because we carry his spirit on the inside of us. And don't want to spit anybody, I'll back up a little bit. And on a Memorial Day, I think it's important that we just take a few minutes here to recognize why it is that we can stand here and we can proclaim the truth that we find in Scripture the way that we read it. There's plenty of other folks that read the same Scripture. For instance, the Jewish people read the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and they come to a very different conclusion about Jesus Christ. And they're free to have a synagogue and to preach that however they read it and however they understand it. And we're free to stand up here and preach it the way that we understand it and read it. And this freedom of expression, this freedom of speech is not something that comes without price. Because controlling people and controlling authorities have always tried to subvert and make everything just the way they wanted it. They had to axe their wives' heads, take, you know, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that's gone on through the history of the globe from rulers who get into this place of control where they just want everything to fit the way that they want it. And they'll take queens' heads off. They'll take millions of people and throw them in a gas chamber because they think their country would be better without them. And this is just the nature of humanity. This is the nature of the fallen man that just wants things his way. Just would think everything's better if I could just do it my way. And it's beautiful when Sinatra sings about doing it my way, and it's so romantic and cool and has that nice vibe to it. You know, I did it my way. And everybody's like, wow, amazing song. But you realize it's the core of what's broken about this globe because people can't get on with each other because they're willing to kill so that they can do it their way. And I thank God that we're a part of a nation. There's a lot of anti-patriotism, a lot of anti-American vibe that goes on this planet. And shame on the planet because there's been a sacrifice given and made by the citizens of our nation who have signed up for the armed forces, whether by draft or volunteer, and have gone and laid down their lives many times most of the time on foreign soil to preserve, to fight for the greater good. To stop. There's a reason why we don't speak German in here mandatorily this morning. It's because folks went and died on beaches that weren't even on our connected to our country. They went and sacrificed. Moms and dads gave their kids to go and shed their blood on foreign soil so that we could stand here on a Sunday morning. I could stand and you could sit and we can worship and we can make as much noise as we want and we can say Jesus as loud as we want and they still can't shut that down yet. There may be a time when they try to, but the fact is we can still say Jesus in prison until we have no more air left. We can still say, Jesus, we love you, because he's captured our hearts and we know that he's real and we know that he's true. Yeah. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Memorial Day is a great day for us to take a minute and just say, you know what? There's a reason why we have what we have. And it's not anything less important that it happened just because it happened decades ago. Seeds are amazing. There's trees that are growing in my own backyard that were there before World War I and World War II even happened. This life that we live, we get all entangled in our own little circles and don't realize this thing's been going on for a really long time. And we are where we are because seeds have been planted, lives have been sown, sacrifices have been made so that we can stand here and we can have the ability to go and vote. We have the ability to go and express our opinions. We can write a letter to the people that are in government and express whatever crazy opinion we have. We have a freedom to express that. And it's an incredible thing. It's something that we have to appreciate because a memorial is a place when you say, I'm choosing to pause for a minute and remember how it was that I got here. And if we don't do it, and this is just a natural, I'm talking about our nation, but also in the spirit, we're going to look a little bit at what we need to remember, because if we forget such a great salvation that Jesus provided for us, we can easily get drawn back into a life that's way lower than what we were created to live and empowered to live by the cross. And I'm just wondering, did you guys manage to find that video? You did find it? You know, this is a 7-minute video, but worship ended a little early. I think I'm going to take time for this because I just want to make sure that, because my grandfather, on my dad's side, was carried off the beach in Normandy. Thank God he made it, but he was carried off the beach. He was part of those first rounds of folks going in, just following orders, just fighting for a cause that they, I'm alive now because, and I don't speak German now, because folks like him went and laid their lives down. They took bullets, they took shrapnel. He died with shrapnel in his body. You know, there's sacrifices that were made, and I thank God that this generation, we've really seen little glimpses of war, almost like remote control war, in a way, compared to what it is, you know, when guys are on either side of New York City and we're fighting out of skyscrapers and stuff, it can get a lot more messy than what we say war and we get freaked out, but it's very clean compared to what a lot of nations are going through. Yeah. We're talking about people fighting within cities in Iraq. Fighting within cities, shooting through windows. I mean, armies on either side, inside a city, using modern weapons to try to exterminate one another. We have a very clean, beautiful life, and it came at a price. I just want to pause for a minute. We know that our dear friend Adolf was elected to office, and we have to be careful. Germany was a democracy. There's a responsibility that we have as believers to vote according to what we believe, to vote for human value, for human life, that we're all precious, that we're all children of God, and that he's paid the highest price, even way beyond what our men and women have gone and given their own lives for. Jesus Christ has done something even far more glorious than that. Well, we've got to dig sometimes. You got to get alone sometimes. You got to just close your eyes and just ask him to show you the cross. Ask him to show you what went on when heaven and earth collided during that season of Jesus' ministry on earth, and you watch how he rose victorious and how he has now given that victory. And every freedom that comes with that victory has now been given to us by faith in the Spirit. Same way, we're talking about the freedoms we have here in this country, the natural ones. Jesus has done no less of a work by what he did on the cross. And the things that he's given us are spiritual, and therefore they're eternal. And they carry value from now into the grave. One of the markers of this house is going to always be a place where people are going to find a patient group of folks while they get it figured out, while the Lord works on their heart, until they get to the full understanding of what it means to follow him and to lay down their life for him and for each other. That we're a place that embraces people's process. That we're not judgmental, that it's okay for people to see that something's not right, but you don't have to go in to correct it. You can just allow the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do, because when love and grace are flowing, things are going to change. People's hearts are going to get adjusted. Lifestyles are going to get corrected. People's understandings are going to come right. But are we ready to love them through the process? Are we ready to embrace the heart of that kid? And I think God looks at the heart. We know that he does. His word says that man looks at the outward stuff. God's looking at our heart. And I thank God there's going to be plenty of stuff that we don't get right here at Kingsfire Church. There's going to be lots of stuff that I don't get right. There's lots of stuff that the leadership won't get right. There's plenty of stuff that you won't get right. Sorry to point that out if you thought that you were going to get everything right. I hate to ruin your Memorial Day. But we're all going to make mistakes. That's the whole point. God uses, I'm looking at Brian. Sorry, Brian. God uses dumbbells to make us stronger, right? I mean, I'm looking at them pipes that are sitting right there with the sleeves trying to cover them, but it just can't. The sleeve's no match for those pipes. And yeah, God uses dumbbells to strengthen us in our character too. He puts them all around us, and you're probably, if you don't think you have any, maybe you are the dumbbell in your circle. And what? My dad's proud because, you know, this. The kids tell me, the older you get, Dad, the more you're like Grandpa. So it's in there. He's just been so faithful to us, and we stand on the shoulders of faithful men. Amen. Who have made great sacrifices. And I was going to say something about Pastor Vaughn, but I can say it. He's not here this morning. I hope he's feeling okay. But oh, he's in prison doing a church in the prison. That's awesome. Because him and Wendy and Stacy are going to go, and they're going to go to Africa for a little over a month. And, you know, Vaughn's heart's always been to travel, to be out and about and ministering to folks. He prefers having a translator. That's just his style. If he has a translator, he feels like he's really preaching then. That's just something that God put in his heart, a love for that. I can't stand it. I like preaching to people that I can just express myself, and I don't have to wonder, are they doing it right? Are they saying what I'm actually saying? That distracts me, but for him, he loves it. And that's a gift God gave him to go to the nations and just to be out and about. And I appreciate that, because there's a foundation that we're built on even here as a church that 4 years ago, my wife and I took over the lead pastoring here, and you know, Vaughn kind of was in the picture for the first 2 years. In the last couple of years, it's just been on us to just lead the vision and to seek God for what He wants to do in our midst. And it's because there was a foundation laid. There were folks that came before us, and just going up to New Life this morning, you realize that this guy's up here practicing his first sermon because there's a pastor that trusts him. There's been people that have spoken into his life over the years that now I'm watching the culmination of over a decade of him being trained up and raised up into where God has for him to go. And I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at in your process, just please embrace the process. Don't allow yourself to think that you've arrived. Don't allow yourself to think that you've so far to go, it's not worth trying. Both are equally crippling. But this God that we serve, He empowers us, and He's given us a life worth living. And there's so much we can say. I want to look at Joshua chapter 4 today in the time we have remaining. And it's a few different pieces, sections of verses from Joshua chapter 4, because this is Memorial Day. And I know I most of the time spend my time speaking about forgetting what's behind. Just forget the past. If the future is not greater than your past, then you're just going to spin your wheels. You're stuck in neutral. And that's what I've been saying a lot of that. Just the past has already happened. Focus on the future. And that's the marching orders. That's the frame of mind you have to live in, or you will just be distracted and you will be double-minded and you won't actually go anywhere. Because if you're looking forward and backward all the time, you know, and thankfully I was corrected because we have some truckers in here. And yes, there are multiple speeds of reverse as well in certain trucking situations. And so I still prefer forward. I think the rearview mirror is tricky. And I'm more likely to make a mess going backwards than I am going forward. I can see a lot better when I'm looking in front of me than when I'm just going backwards. And I think it's true for everybody. And I just want to make sure that we realize that there's both of these statements are true, that we must never forget where we've been. And yet we have to forget where we've been. There's a lot of this in Scripture. There's a lot of things that seem to contradict, but you have to understand the heart of which the message is being expressed. I'm talking about forgetting the failures, forget the stuff that causes pain, that causes anxiety to rise up. You have to let that stuff be in the past where it belongs, because in front of you should be a different set of targets that will rob you and distract you from hitting the mark you need to hit. But this idea in Joshua is in God's heart to establish for the people of Israel a memorial, a marker. And so let's just read the story. And it came to pass, let's start in verse 1, Joshua 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. And you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And so here, the nation has gone across the Jordan River. Apparently the water is still open and they're able to go back in because the ark is still there, keeping the water apart, and the priests are there. And he instructs 12 people. So he would have selected key leaders from the tribes to go back into the river and get rocks that would have never even been visible. They would have been buried under the surface to take rocks that they would have never even been able to access, carry them out on their shoulders, and to put them in a heap. And the reason is this, in verse 6, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. See, something happened when they came through the Red Sea. You know, before the Jordan River was the Red Sea, He split an ocean for them. And you'd think that would shock them into realizing this guy that we worship, this God who just all we can know Him as is I am, He's unworded. His name is unspeakable to the Jewish people. They just know Him as I am. That's what He sent Moses to tell them. Who am I? Just tell them I am. He is. He just exists. That's all you need to know. This person is so big on our behalf. He split the sea so that we could escape from the Egyptians, and he buried them in the ocean. That should have been all the proof they ever needed to realize this guy is on our side. This God that we worship, his provision is complete, his power to protect us, his plan for us, he's going to take care of it for us. Because we were stuck, they were about to kill us, then he opens the ocean, we go through, they get killed behind us. Amazing demonstration of God's power, his faithfulness and his love. And yet, almost immediately, Moses goes to the mountain to receive the written law on tablets of stone, and they build a golden calf before he can get back. They knew they weren't supposed to worship other idols. They knew that making false gods was sinful in God's eyes, that it was not where they were, that's where they came from, it's not where they were going to. And yet that's what they did. That was their expression in the face of the miracle God worked for them, was that they went and did built an idol that they were familiar with from Egypt. And I wonder how many times we do it in our own thinking. Sometimes not, we don't act it out, but we think like slaves when God has set us free. He's brought us through the cross. He's brought us to a place of salvation where we're only bound if we choose to be bound in our own thinking. But in literal reality, we're not. We've been separated unto him. We've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he's now bringing them through into the promised land, they wandered in the desert until the older ones died off and the new generation went in. And as they're going across, he says, this time, let's build a memorial right off the bat. Let's take some stones out of this river so that however it was they forgot the last time, this time there's a memorial. There's something that when their children ask, what are these stones all about? They can say, well, they used to be underneath that current that you see out there, but there was a time when. And there's a marker built, not a golden calf like was built on the shores of the Red Sea, but a marker built by God's instruction for them, because memorials are powerful. Yeah. And so then in verse 21 through 24, it says this. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. You see, there's two benefits to this memorial. There's two things God's trying to accomplish here. The first one is that he wants all the peoples of the earth to know the hand of the Lord, that he acts on behalf of people. And it's a powerful thing that God wants to get through. And he wants them also to know that he's mighty, and so for their benefit, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So that when provision is needed, when something's not working out right, when there's something to get through that you know you can't get through it, you can call out to the Lord and say, you split the Red Sea. You split the Jordan River. There's a pile of rocks here that came from under the river. I can remember when this happened. I was told by my grandfather or whoever it was that there was a sacrifice and a price paid, that by faith we went through this thing and God acted on our behalf. And they can remember. Because in remembering the right things, there's power, there's significance, there's a faith that rises up that allows you to take on the stuff that's in front of you now. By remembering the faithless. The problem is that we get all our remembering mixed up. We remember the negative and the pain, and we remember the thing that didn't work last time, and so we're afraid to try it again. Rather than remembering that, no, the promise says that he comes through. The promise is that when he saved me from sin, he also saved me to a life more glorious than what I came from. Therefore, if my life now is starting to look like my life then, something's wrong. It's not normal. We get to redefine by faith what's normal. You know, in Romans, faith is called the law. The law of faith says, how then can we boast? How is it excluded? The answer is by the law of faith. We simply believe, and therefore we function in a law that goes outside of every other thing that we've seen. Even mountains have to disobey gravity for a moment if there's enough faith to say, go get in the ocean. It's a law. Faith is a law. There's a law called faith. That if anything you believe in his name, anything you truly believe in, do not doubt that it's going to be done for you. The problem is not with the laws that God has placed. It's with us remembering his faithfulness, remembering that he hasn't let us fall till now. Why would he start now? Why would fear be able to get access to me now? Because up until now, he's protected and provided for me. And you start to call to mind the memorials, the moments, the testimonies of your life and of the life of people that you've been around when something great's happened for them. Yeah. Memorial is powerful. Memorial is something that we misconstrue and we don't remember right a lot of times. I don't know about you, but as I get older, my memory is not always accurate. You don't have to smile that big. Just a little smirk would have been enough. Oh, she said she's worse. Thanks, honey. You make me feel better. Right? And sometimes it takes two or three people, be like, no, I heard you. That's what you said. And then you add two or three witnesses. You have to realize, okay, maybe I didn't say what I thought I said, what I remembered I said. That's why we have the scripture. Yeah. You see, there's a battle on. There are forces at play in this universe. Yeah. Listen, I'm just going to read this in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. You don't have to read. You don't have to go there, but listen to this. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, not capital G-O-D, the little God, the devil, has blinded who do not believe, unless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. There's a blinding that has happened. There's a veil that lies over the eyes of people who have not found faith yet, that everything to them is still confusion. They're still in a mist. They still can't see what we see clearly by faith. There's a force at work in the universe. It's not just God. God's not just alone. There was a rebellion in heaven, and a third of the angels left with Lucifer, who since became known as Satan, the devil, the enemy of everything that is good. They were expelled, so the good news is two-thirds are still on the Lord's side. As if he doesn't just need them, he's got himself. But the fact is, there was a universe made by his voice, and when that happened, there was also the opportunity, because he gives us all free choice. You do realize that the reason we have free choice right now is because free choice is God's heart. Yeah. Men laid down their lives a few hundred years ago because they wanted the right to decide what religion I want to believe, what life I want to have, how much I want to earn. There's a freedom for us to decide who we get married to. It's not just all set in stone. We have freedom of living this life according to how we believe. And that freedom came because that's in God's heart. God's always desired that we would live in freedom, but there's also a voice out there that tries to get us to just choose the wrong stuff. And if you're blinded and there's a veil over your face and over our friend's face and whoever it is that doesn't know him yet, of course they're going to make dumb decisions. Of course they're going to do destructive things. It's because to them, looking through that veil that the God of this age has put in front of them, it makes perfect sense why they're doing what they're doing. Until the veil is lifted and you realize, okay, he just loves me for who I am. I don't have to try to achieve this thing. This has already been paid for. My sins are already forgiven. I just have to believe it and receive it. And by faith, I'm made whole again. This is the gospel. This is the power of the gospel. It's not about what you can do. It's about what he already did. But the veil that hangs over people's eyes is there because it keeps them from believing. All they can see is the questions. All they can see is the suspicious stuff. All they see is everything that's broken. And they don't get to feel and experience the heart of God behind a broken universe. This thing's broken. It's so broken. It's incredible that I would have to stand and tell people that. But sometimes I think we have this incredible bubble here in America where it seems broken because of what we're watching on the news. But most of the stuff around us is not so broken that we live in constant awareness of this could be the last second that I'm alive. But for a lot of part of the world, if you're a person of faith, you live with a constant awareness that you are going to be extinguished at the first chance your enemy sees to take you out. This world is at war. It says when there's wars and rumors of wars and everything is progressing that way, we know the time is short. We know that he's soon to return. We understand that this conflict is not being inspired by mere flesh and blood, but it's inspired by a force that hates God and hates everything that is good. And because of pride that was in his heart, he was expelled from heaven and kicked away from everything that God had given him in charge of. And I want you to understand this as we face this life, as we remember back a group, a generation that's been called the greatest generation who ever lived, especially in World War II, and we're remembering D-Day, and we're remembering the fact that there was, in the heart of a nation was this idea that if evil exists there, and innocent people are being horrifically destroyed, then we're going to go and we're going to act on their behalf. That's the heart of God. That's what was found in God's heart when he says that he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. It's just a different form and expression of that. And I don't want you to be confused about that. There's a reason that we should be excited about the fact we're Americans. There's a reason why people flee to America over the past centuries when things are too bad in their own country to make it. There's a reason why this has been the lighthouse on a globe full of oppressors and dictators and people who have tried to wipe out entire sections of humanity because they didn't look and they didn't say the things they wanted them to say. And I'm excited. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to stand and believe that our Constitution, with all of its flaws, is a document that has brought us this far, and we don't need to be adjusting at every turn of the road and fighting over some of the things that are just very basic and very scriptural and have been put there for a reason, because God had an idea about what this thing would look like. He's the one that made it. How about we look at John 1 as I just wrap this up? In the beginning, the Word already existed. See, there's a lot of tension out there. People want to do life their own way. They want to set it up the way that it appeals to them, the way that it suits their desires and their preferences. But look at this. It says, in the beginning, just to be clear, the Word, meaning Jesus, already existed. He was not made. He made. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The reason why when you cross Go, when you're playing Monopoly, that you get $200 from the bank is because Parker Brothers decided that when you pass Go, you get $200. They're the ones that decided what the cards were going to read when you pick up chance. It didn't just happen by chance. When you pick up a chance card, they were decided what they were going to be because they built the game. When you build the game, you make the rules. When you speak and the universe happens, you set the rules. You know, the sad thing is there's a lot of people with these huge egos, and you think that you can just go out and recreate God's universe, and you can't. He's put certain laws in place. He's put things in order because that's the one, He's the one that has that right. We don't have that right. He's decided what marriage would look like. He's decided what a family would be. He's decided what it would look like to live and to look like His Son, Jesus Christ. The attitudes are all written out, the fruit of the Spirit. He's already decided what a believer looks like before there even was... 2,000 years later, we're still going back and looking at what it looks like to be a believer. And we can measure people by the fruit that we see in their life because something recorded over 2,000 years ago. Because God has a recipe and a way of doing life and a way that He has set this thing up that He has the right to. And if you don't give Him that right, it's the highest arrogance for a breathing person who you got breath from Him. If you think that your breath is going to redefine the rules that He put in place, you're gravely mistaken. You are seeing through a veil. He's God. In the midst of so much of what's been called Christianity, we've thought that we're the ones that decide how it all works. And we're not. It says the Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. They can create their own form of light, but we know that the devil is transformed and translated as an angel of light. It can look good. It can sound good. But is it what God wrote down? Is it what He recorded? Is it the recipe that He put in His so that we would live a blessed life? So that we would live a life clean when everything else is being defiled and falling around us? There's a reason why it was in the heart of a nation to go to foreign soil and to defend those that were being brutalized by dictators and by forces of fascism and all other kinds of stuff. It's because at the core of who we were, there was an understanding that when injustice is happening and I have the ability to stop it and I don't, it's going to fall on me. That's a scriptural principle. That's not human nature, folks. I'm sorry, it's not. It is not human nature to lay down one's own life for someone else when there's no immediate guarantee you will even win in the first place, and that there will be any immediate benefit for you or your family other than the fact that you just know folks over there need us. In the church, there should be a much more powerful force with that same understanding that they don't know Him yet. They don't think like we do. They don't dress like we do. They don't understand what we know the Word to say. And so we have to love them in the process of them finding out what God's plan is for their life. There's no exclusion here. We have to love everyone. We have to love the ones that will spit at us, that will falsely accuse us and say we're haters because we believe differently. Do you understand that? When people call me a hater, I love it because I realize I'm doing something right because they told Jesus the same thing. Love and agreement is worlds apart. You can stand for a cause and lay your life down for a cause, and people can call you all kinds of things. The fact is, I'm standing on something that's true because it's been written and it's been recorded. This Word that's been inspired by the Spirit has been put here to connect me to a realm I can't see. I can't see heaven. I feel like I experience it a little bit in worship. I feel like I can hear the sound of it. I feel like I can smell the aroma of it. But But I can't see Jesus face to face. By faith, I can visualize him. I can desire it more than the air that I'm breathing sometimes in worship, that I don't want to come back. I just want to go wherever I'm going this far. Just take me past the point, and I just want to be there. But by faith, we get to bring some of that back. By faith, we get to realize that there's a universe made for us. And there's a guy, there's a God, there's a heavenly Father, there's a person on a throne that knows how best to walk this thing out. How best to love people in the midst of their disagreement. Disagreement, it's not a problem. There was plenty that Jesus did that there was a lot of disagreement. He still wept over his city. He said, "My God, I wanted to gather you, but you just wouldn't come. You couldn't hear me because you've been listening to the voice of the one that's been telling you I'm the enemy. I'm the one that's coming to mess everything up. I'm coming to turn everything around and mess up your traditions." And you ended up killing him. But he still wept over them. There's a time and a place for us to stand, and it's now. We have to be willing to stand in love and in grace and in mercy and in a desire that none would perish, but that every single child of his would come to a faith that brings them to eternal life. It brings them to a place of inner peace. You know, when you have the power to create your own universe, you can make the rules. I don't have that power yet. I can't even create my own family and get it just the way I want it. I'm limited. We're all limited. We're human. We have certain things we do. We feel like we make things. We feel like we design things. We feel like we build things. At the end of the day, we're just borrowing materials that were already created for us to play with. It's like a playground out there that God just put us in for, well, less than 100 years and said, go see what you can do with it. But at the end of the day, it's all his. Amen. And he's got a plan for every person's life. He has a desire for every person to make you into a changer of the people that you're around, to make you an influence of light. It says that the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Amen. We're children of light. We're children that know of an answer, and his name is Jesus. We don't have answers for every tiny thing that goes wrong, but we have the answer. We know that it's his place. He made it. It's been messed up, and he's put us here to help people see that there is a way back to him. There is a way back to an eternity that will not be broken, that will not just be up for interpretation, that will be secure. Father, I thank you for the peace that we have in our hearts when we know that we are going to a place that you have prepared. Lord, you've been thinking about this place. You have crafted it. You said that it's never even entered into the human mind, the imaginations of what it will be to be surrounded by your glory, to be surrounded by your love, to be in a place where there's no more pain and there's no more sickness, no fear can come there. Nothing unclean has ever touched that place. And so, Jesus, we just look to you this morning. Father, we look to you to maybe soften a heart, Lord, to just help us. Lord, I just humble myself before you, Lord, because there's so much I don't have a clue about, Lord. But I know that you know. And I know that you know every part of me and you know everything about me. And you know how to get me to the place you desire to take me, Lord. So I just pray on behalf of anyone in this heart, in this house with a willing heart, Lord, that they want to go to the place that you have for them, that they would open the door of their heart. And they would allow you in so that you can lead them to a place. Lead them to a place of provision, of remembering the faithfulness of our God and our King. Lord, we remember you this morning. We remember what you did on that cross. Lord, you said that every time we come together that we should remember who you are and what you've accomplished. Lord, this morning Lord, we thank you for the courage that you placed in the hearts of men and women who've given their lives for our nation. Lord, a courage that was placed there by you, Lord, because we're a nation founded on a Bible, on the Word of God. A nation that understands that when we stand on you, we stand on a rock that doesn't move. So, Lord, we thank you for drawing us back, Lord, that the light we shine individually and corporately would be a light that would give people a sense of direction, a sense of correctness, a sense of understanding. Lord, we thank you because only by your Spirit can you do this. We submit ourselves, Lord, to your Spirit, that you would show us how to love the way that you loved us. Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for this great nation. Lord, we pray a blessing. Lord, we humbly ask for a blessing over the hearts and minds of those that lead this great nation, that make decisions that affect every single one of us, Lord. That by your Spirit, you would cause a humble attitude to be found in their heart, that they would humble themselves and realize that without you, the spiral that we're in does not change. It just goes further down. Lord, I pray that you'd raise our eyes to see that you are the hope, the glory, and the lifter of our head, Lord. Lord, we choose to stand, not in judgment, but in grace, knowing that you have given us your life to love others with. Thank you for light, Lord. Thank you for life. In Jesus' name. Jesus' precious name. Amen.